You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, September 30th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show, everybody. This show will be our last live show of the week at the studio, anyway, because starting tomorrow, October 1st through October 3rd, I am on the Fight Sabet Tour. That's right. Kevin Sabet's tour dates have been announced. Noel Crombie from the Oregonian has them posted at OregonLive.com. He will be making 7 stops in 3 days, and I will be there at every single one of them. Tomorrow for 8 hours, well, close to 8 hours, 8 o'clock to 3:30 p.m., Sabet will be in Madras, Oregon. I will be there. At 4 p.m., he will be in Kaiser, Oregon. I will be there. On Thursday at 10 a.m., he will be in Roseburg, Oregon. I will be there. At 3 p.m., he'll be in Grants Pass. I will be there. Friday, October 3rd, he will be 8 a.m. in Ontario, Oregon, all the way across the state next door to Idaho. I will be there. He will be at 11:30 in La Grande. I will be there. And 5 p.m. in Hood River. I will be there. If you'd like to help me cover the cost of gas, food, lodging, and printing expenses, you can donate at GoFundMe.com/FightSabet. Would really appreciate that. I will be streaming live from the Radical Russ live channel intermittently throughout the day. You can find it at rad-r.us/live420. That's rad-r.us/live420. The regular 420 radio feed will continue as it is normally programmed, so we will have replay shows at this time for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But catch the Russ Melville live channel there on Ustream or through that link I just mentioned to catch my my live streams from the road. And if you follow me at Radical Russ on Twitter, I'll be posting when I go live, and you can follow me that way as well. There's also going to be a link on the front page in the sliders of the new 420 radio web design, so pay attention for that. You'll see a big crowd scene, and if you click that crowd scene, it'll take you right to my live channel. But let's get to today's show. There's plenty to cover on today's show. We'll start with the 420 radio headline news, and in the news today, Colorado Supreme Court is considering employment rights for medical marijuana patients. We've got the No on 91 campaign in Oregon kicking off their scaremongering. A new poll in Louisiana shows majorities favor decriminalizing marijuana. And speaking of decrim, Maryland's decrim goes into effect tomorrow. And in Maine, we had SWAT member or men who were impersonating SWAT members raiding and ripping a medical marijuana patient. We'll tell you all about that right after the first break. Then we'll go on to our behind the headlines. I'll take a deeper look at that No on 91 press conference and debunk all their scaremongering. In drug war data mining today, we're going to ask how many daily marijuana consumers are there in your state. I'll show you how to find out. Then at half past in our Reformers Reader segment, we recorded an interview earlier this morning with the guru of ganja himself, Ed Rosenthal. He's got a new book. It's called Beyond Buds, Marijuana Extracts, Vaping, Everything You Need to Know. Great interview with Ed today coming up at half past. And at the end of the show, time for a radical rant. I received my first records of Josh Marquis's emails, the DA from Clatsop County, who's intimidated by those of us who want him to follow the law and not illegally electioneer against Measure 91. We'll take a look at some of the highlights from his email accounts. And in hour two, we're taking on Oregon's stoners against legalization, who just reared their ugly heads in the paper just this week. It's a big show. Let's get ready. I'm Radical Russ. We're back right after this with the news. Stick around.
To the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green. It was a nightmare scenario last May for one Southern Oregon woman. It's 4 in the morning and someone's trying to break in.
911 emergency.
My ex-boyfriend is trying to break into my house. He put me in the hospital a few weeks ago and I've been trying to keep him away.
But because of budget cuts, the sheriff's office is only open during weekday business hours.
I don't have anybody to send out there. So if he comes inside the residence and assaults you, can you ask him to go away? Or
he did break into the home, and he did rape and choke this woman. Meanwhile, it was announced that the Oregon Sheriff's Association made a $100,000 donation to the campaign against Measure 91, the initiative to legalize marijuana. So there's enough money to protect people from marijuana, but not rapists? Measure 91 devotes 35% of tax revenues from marijuana sales to state and local police. Vote yes on Measure 91. A message from the Russ Belville Show, not endorsed or sponsored by the Measure 91 campaign. Drug Truth Network, Cultural Baggage, replaying Wednesdays at 11 Pacific.
Mike Schwab is a former middle school science and math teacher. Currently, he works with children daily as an after-school program leader.
Currently, kids have easy access to marijuana with little understanding of its impact. We can take better care of our kids through Measure 91 with strict regulations and funding for proven marijuana education and prevention programs to keep kids from using it. Under our current marijuana laws, one mistake can ruin a life. Measure 91 removes unfairly harsh punishment for marijuana offenses and gets more tax money to local police and drug prevention. Vote yes on 91.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, September 30th, 2014. The Colorado Supreme Court heard arguments today in the case of a quadriplegic man named Brandon Coates, who was fired for medical marijuana use by his employer, Dish Network, where he worked as a telephone operator. Coates, who has used medical marijuana since a car accident to control spasms and seizures, says he never used nor was impaired on the job. He contends he was fired in 2010 from his job as a Dish Network customer service representative after a cheek swab drug test revealed inactive THC in his system. The debate topic was this: if it isn't illegal to use medical marijuana, does that make it a lawful activity for which employers can't fire you? While California, Oregon, Washington, and Michigan's courts have ruled that their state medical marijuana laws do not protect employees from being fired over a dirty test, Colorado has a lawful off-duties activities statute that prevents firing anyone for their legal activities off the job. Opponents of marijuana legalization in Oregon kicked off their campaign Monday, standing next to an array of gummy bears, sugary cereal, chocolate bars, and other products that Colorado retailers lace with marijuana and sell over the counter. Mandy Puckett, prevention coordinator who heads the No on 91 campaign, and other opponents argued that their biggest worry with legalized marijuana is that it will eventually be heavily marketed and turned into a product as mainstream as a cold beer on a hot day. Anthony Johnson, the chief sponsor of the Oregon Marijuana Initiative, said opponents are wrong in thinking that illegal pot isn't already being heavily marketed. Quote, "Big marijuana is already here in Oregon, and it's called drug cartels," said Johnson. "Measure 91 brings in strict controls and takes it away from the cartels," end quote. Public Policy Polling conducted a poll that found majorities of Louisiana voters oppose long sentences for marijuana possession. According to the numbers by PPP, 78% of Louisiana residents oppose sentences of longer than 6 months for marijuana possession. 71% oppose life sentences, even for people with prior felonies. Additionally, two-thirds of the people polled acknowledge knowing someone who has been in possession of marijuana. This showed that marijuana possession is common and unremarkable in today's world. The poll also found that among Louisianans, 68% support letting seriously ill patients use medical marijuana, 59% oppose jail time for first-time possession charges, and 34% say they would be more likely to vote for a candidate who opposed marijuana reform. The law decriminalizing the possession of small amounts of marijuana goes into effect tomorrow. Just don't put it in a pot pipe.
Starting October 1st, people in Maryland who are caught with 10 grams of marijuana or less in the state will be issued a fine and will not be charged criminally. The fines vary from $100 for a first offense, $250 for a second offense, and $500 for any subsequent offense. Selling marijuana is still a criminal offense as well. It is considered distribution under Maryland law, and you can be arrested. Possession of drug paraphernalia is also still a criminal offense. Officers will not have a scale in their vehicles to determine if the amount of marijuana is 10 grams. The marijuana will be confiscated and measured in a stable environment. Apparently, marijuana will be taken and offenders released with tickets or criminal summons forthcoming in the mail. Police are looking for three men who pretended briefly to be police officers while they stole medical marijuana plants last week in Winterport, Maine. Surveillance cameras recorded images of the trio in the act. On Saturday, another medical marijuana theft took place, this one in Standish. In that case, sheriff's deputies, real ones, charged two men with theft and aggravated assault after they allegedly beat up the owner and doused him with pepper spray. In Winterport, the three men wore fake police items, including a SWAT-style vest, a hat with police across the front, and a shirt with sheriff written on the front, all of which can be purchased from online retailers, according to Maine State Police. One man pointed what police believe was a semi-automatic handgun. In Standish, two men tried to sneak into the outdoor growing area of a medical marijuana provider, but tripped alarms. When they were confronted by the homeowner, they knocked him to the ground and kicked him repeatedly, then sprayed him with pepper spray. This shows once again why medical marijuana does not go far enough in protecting its patients from theft and abuse over recreational use. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, September 30th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. 420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get hot.
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away. And if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
Hi, I'm Richard Harris. I'm the former director of addictions and mental health for the state of Oregon. Drug treatment and prevention are woefully underfunded right now. Measure 91 will better fund drug treatment and prevention programs. Marijuana isn't going anywhere. We're not stopping it with the war on drugs. You have to remember that marijuana is a pretty benign drug. It doesn't have the usual dependency features of, say, heroin or alcohol abuse. Now, marijuana feeds drug cartels and fuels violence. We can crack down on that. Take the money from drug cartels and, by the law, spend it on law enforcement, treatment, and education. Criminalizing marijuana is just no way to solve the problem. That's why treatment people like me are supporting Measure 91.
Welcome back, everyone. 14 after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And the headline today is right here from Oregon, where marijuana legalization opponents open campaign attacking pot products attractive to children. And in this story, we get this big old picture as well. And I'll see if I can get this on the screen for you. There she is. This is Mandy Puckett. She usually works as a prevention coordinator for, I forget which county, maybe it's Deschutes or Jefferson, I can't remember which one. Usually that's her job, but they've given her a leave of absence so that she can head up the No on 91 campaign, which already sounds a little bit fishy to me. Isn't it interesting how in Alaska, the head of the No campaign was given time off from her job as well, still able to draw a salary from her job while volunteering to oppose marijuana legalization? I don't know if that's the same situation with Mandy Puckett, but it seems to be. Here she is in front of the four local news stations, holding up a bag on the left of an ounce of marijuana and a bag on the right of 8 ounces of marijuana. Then to the right of that, a display showing various cookies and candies and gummy bears and other sorts of infused products that are often sold in the state of Colorado. And we might note that they're sold in the state of Colorado in adults-only stores that children cannot get into. And when the authorities conducted a sting recently where they sent underage narcs in to try to A, get into a pot shop, and B, buy something, they had a zero hit rate. None of the pot shops failed the test. All of them carded the kids and would not let them in or would not let them buy. Now, meanwhile, they did a similar sting for alcohol out there in Colorado and found that like 28 restaurants and bars that they found were openly giving kids alcohol and serving them. So, but there's another quote in here in this story from Mandy Puckett, the anti-91 head here, that really tells us exactly what this fight is all about. Here's the quote. "I don't want my kids to grow up in a place where this is normal." And she's referring to the candies and the cookies and the infused products. "I don't want my kids to grow up in a place where this is normal." And that just shows you, it just highlights how much of this is a culture war and how much of this really is about enforcing social mores and cultural norms, much more so than it has anything to do with public safety or the children. Mandy Puckett wants her children to grow up thinking that people that use marijuana are dirty and disgusting and have a habit or an addiction, people that need to be avoided, people that need to be rehabilitated, people that need to be ticketed and fined and possibly locked up in a cage so that she can keep some sense of normalcy for her kids. Now, one of her complaints here is that opponents argued their biggest worry with legalized marijuana is that it will eventually be marketed and turned into a product as mainstream as a cold beer on a hot day. And for that, they back it up with Bob Doyle, who's a tobacco prevention expert from Colorado, who's been involved with Project Sam there in Colorado, saying, quote, "The marijuana industry wants us to believe that marijuana gummy bears and fruit punch are not targeting children. Are we really going to go in this direction again?" Well, first of all, it'd be kind of curious to find out what Bob Doyle thinks that adults think of gummy bears. I guess there's a certain age limit on gummy bears. I guess once you turn, 16, 18, 21, what's the age, Bob? At some age, you don't like gummy bears anymore. No, you can't find an adult out there that likes gummy bears. That's just marketing for kids. What kind of crazy thinking is that? I love gummy bears. Hell, Herb Thrasher loves gummy bears much more than I do. The big marijuana scare about targeting children is based on this theory from the results of what happened with tobacco. And it is absolutely true that big tobacco targeted kids going back to the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. We've got their documents. We uncovered them. And again, how did we uncover them? Well, because it's a legal product and we were able to take them to court and sue them. Right? Can't really sue the Juarez cartel to get their documents, as if they keep documents. But I digress. This is a theory that's based off the idea that big tobacco lied to kids, lied about the medical health risks of tobacco and its addictive potential, and deliberately marketed to kids with Camel Bucks and Joe Camel and Marlboro Miles and all that stuff. Now, let's point out that since 1998, Joe Camel has been dead. We killed Joe Camel again because it's a legal product and we were able to sue the tobacco companies and get restrictions in place against their advertising to children. But it's a fallacy on its face because of one important distinction. Marijuana ain't tobacco. Tobacco had to lie about the health risks of its product because its product is toxic and addictive. Its product causes cancer and emphysema and kills people. Its product addicts 1 out of 3 people who ever try it. And it's the kind of addiction that is harder to quit for some people than heroin, alcohol, or cocaine. My dad included. So, of course, Big Tobacco had to lie about its product. Marijuana doesn't have to lie about its product. We can tell the absolute truth about marijuana, especially with adults.
All we want to do is pump you up.
Oh, the 20 after break always comes quicker than I'm expecting. I had so much more to say, but you know, we'll save that for hour two. We'll get plenty more to save there. We got Wiz Coleco in the house as well. How's it going, Coleco?
Good, man. I'm ready to celebrate this little break of ours.
That's right. It's 420 in Denver, and let's celebrate like they do in Denver. We'll be back right after this. Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, every Friday at 5 and 8 Pacific on 420radio.org. Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about 7 people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining. Welcome back, everybody. 22 after the hour, and for today's Drug War Data Mining, we're going to take a look at the National Survey on Drug Use and Health to determine how many daily marijuana users are there in your state. Now, you can find the National Survey on Drug Use and Health through the Substance Abuse Mental Health Data Archive, SAMHDA. If you just put SAMHDA online tool into Google, you will find this. And in here we have the surveys ranging from 2012 all the way back to 1979. The problem with the national surveys is they don't break things down by state. To get that, you need to get something called the RDAS. Now, the RDAS comes in 4 flavors right now. There's a 10-year one for 2002 to 2011, the 8-year one for 2002 to 2009, 2 different 4-year surveys from 2002 to 2005 and 2006 to 2009, and then the 2-year surveys for every 2-year period since 2002. I always like to use the 2-year RDAS because I feel it gives us the most up-to-date information. Clicking into the RDAS online analysis will take us to a page to sign in. You can use a Google account to get in there. I think Facebook will work as well. And this will take you to terms of use. You have to agree to the terms of use, just like most websites. And now we will get into where we can start setting up some of the data terms that we're wanting to look for. Let me magnify the screen just a little bit so we have a little more to show you. All right, so the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, 2-year RDAS. And along the side, like we've seen before, we have the variables that we can select. And from this, we're wondering how many people are daily marijuana smokers in our state. Well, the first thing we're going to have to do is to figure out how do we get our state. There is this set of variables here called state and region. If we open those up, there's one called state. Now, the problem with the state variable is you need to know what number matches your state. And If you click on the variable, you will get a listing that will tell you all the different states. So you can pick your state out. And in the case of Oregon, our state is number 41. So if we go back to the RDAS and we put into our control, control variables are what we use to be able to filter what we want. We can type in state. State will appear as one of the variables, and then parentheses 41 will give us the results of people just from the state of Oregon. And let's see if we can get that. Oh, I'm sorry. Selection filters. That's what I was looking for. Not the control. State of 41. All right. So state 41. And then we want to know their marijuana use. Now, that comes from some of our imputed substance use variables. And we can see this recency of drug use. This gives us cigarettes and cigars and all sorts of stuff. Smokeless tobacco, chewing tobacco, alcohol. And then we get down to marijuana. And here's a variable called IRMJRC, marijuana recency. If we click on that, we can see that marijuana recency comes up and tells us that we have three values within the past 30 days, within the past year, more than a year ago, and never used. So let's just take a look at what that looks like in the state. Oops, make sure you keep that page open, would help. Let's see if we can get that. So we'll use the IRMJFY variable. Let's see, they get that recency of drug use again back up. So IRM, where'd you go? Marijuana. There we are. So we get our marijuana IRMJRC. We can drag that into the row, got to pick that, got to type that IRMJRC as our row variable and state of 41 in our selection filter. Scroll down a bit on the page and we can run the table and we'll get the information we were looking for. From the two-year state RDAS, what we see is that within Oregon, 9.6% of the people used marijuana within the past 30 days, and I need to move the window over a bit so you can see that. Within the past 30 days, 9.6%, and about 1.5 million, the numbers on the side are in thousands, so about 1.5 million used within the past month, about 857,000 used within the past year. So 9.6% using monthly, 5.5% using annually. Add those together, we get 15.1% of the people in Oregon using marijuana every year. We'll figure out daily next time.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web.
What the authorities should do is decriminalize pot use. You want to do it in your house, not bother anyone? Fine. Go outside with a joint or a pipe, you pay a fine.
A majority of voters support changing failed marijuana laws. Legalization and decriminalization are mainstream solutions. We are the Marijuana Majority. MarijuanaMajority.com.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformer's Reader.
Earlier today, I got the chance to speak with the guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal, by telephone about his new book, B Beyond Buds, all about marijuana extracts. Check it out. All right, welcome back, everybody. We are on the phone with one of my favorite growers of all time out there, the guru of ganja. Ed Rosenthal is with us. Ed, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure to be with you.
You know, the new book, I've got it right here in my hands. It's called Beyond Buds, Marijuana Extracts, Hashing, Vaping, Dabbing, Edibles, and Medicines. And what a timely book, because this is the new thing. Everybody's talking about dabbing and vaping and hash, and there's a lot of scaremongering about it, and there's a lot of great stories about it. Give us your take on Beyond Buds and why this book is so important.
This book is important because this concentrates that as a whole play a major part in the market, and it's a growing part, and people want to know about them, both how to make them, how to use them, and I think that it's better for people to be using concentrates such as the ones that are out now than just smoking marijuana, because there's less impurities that get to people, and they don't have to spend take as much energy to their lungs to get the substance.
Do you think, Ed, that, you know, someday guys like you and me, guys our age, are going to be kind of the old school where we used to smoke flowers, and there'll be a time when everybody's just using concentrates?
I think there'll always be room for using smoking a spliff or a pipe, and I think part of the reason why people have gone to concentrates is because the quality of marijuana has changed. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about so much about that the THC has gone up or the CBD is now taken into account, but that there used to be a lot, marijuana used to be a lot more fragrant, so it was really a pleasure to smoke a joint. And I think that over the years, as people have bred for THC, they've forgotten about the terpenes, the odor molecules. And Russ, you've been around for a while. Remember a time when you might open a bag of pot and the whole room would smell up, and you close the bag and you try to air the room out, and it takes a while to air it out?
Oh, yeah.
You haven't had that recently, right?
Not a lot. I did find a strain called Jasmine, and I was really turned on by its terpene and its smell and everything about it. Even though it was testing out at, you know, 10% less THC than some of the stuff was available, I found it much more enjoyable.
Right, and I actually experienced it up in Canada. This fellow from Montreal handed me a joint, and I usually people say, "How do you like it?" And I say, "It's pretty good." But this guy, I turned to him. I said, "This is excellent." I don't usually do that. I said, "Would you roll one for me to take with me?" I mean, I don't usually do that kind of thing, but it was so good. And that, when that kind of weed comes back, you're going to have more people smoking it for the pleasure of it.
Yeah, and I think that's a function as we reduce the criminal penalties and start, you know, legalization out here, that we get these varieties, and not everybody's trying to get the ever clear of weed. We can have a Chardonnay, we can have a beer, we can have something that's lighter but possibly more tasty and enjoyable.
Well, that's true, but there's no reason not to have both as well. So
there you go.
And also, I think that dabbing also lets you, another thing is that dabbing also lets you decide how much you're going to have a lot, because with smoking it takes a while, and dabbing is faster.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, we're living in a faster world.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We're speaking with Ed Rosenthal, who's the author, along with David Downs, of Beyond Buds, Marijuana Extracts, Hash, Vaping, Dabbing, Edibles, and Medicine. Ed's the guy you trust on all of the marijuana books. Now he's telling you all about extracts. And in here, you're going to learn about dry sift, water hash, BHO, butane hash oil, CO2, the carbon dioxide extractions. What would you like to say about these different methods? I know there's a lot of concern in the community about the explosive nature of BHO. A lot of people are turning to CO2. What's your take on all that?
I think that for the most part, as a consumer, I would leave the production to professionals, and even though they're home kits and so on, I actually think that that it's much safer to get that material from people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, there's the states
that's
are.
That's ultimately now people are going to do it, and there are CO2 kits. For instance, Eden Labs and others have them, and they all work. And but they're more of an investment. You know, it's the equivalent of setting up a grow room in terms of an investment. So or more. So you really have to, in order to get a good rig, you're going to pay. You really have to be in. Unless you can afford expensive hobbies, it's going to be you're going to have to want to really be into it in order for it to pay for itself.
Good point. And, you know, another aspect of dab culture that sometimes raises eyebrows is the dab rig, the blowtorch, the kind of the scary optics of that. What do you got in this book as far as teaching people about the different ways to be able to use concentrates?
Well, we talk about vape pens and all kinds of different dabbing devices, and I think dabbing is going to evolve from torches to electric devices. Whether we're talking about the dab rig or vape pen, you know, all of those are based on electricity, and so I mean, if you have an electric dab rig, and that's, you know, it doesn't have that kind of weird cultish look that heating a dab with a torch does. So, you know, it's just plugged in and it's ready to go.
Yeah, it's amazingly convenient.
Yes.
Another aspect of this, Jacob Lavaro in Texas is this young man who got busted for making pot brownies, but he made them with hash oil. And under Texas law, hash is different than pot. And he had faced life in prison because of this. What are the reasons why someone would want to make edibles using hash oil or hash rather than making the old fashioned way with decarboxylated bud?
Less taste.
Yeah.
You know, less taste of grass. It's a convenient, some of the best cookies that I ever had were made where the person used grass as part of the flour constituent, you know, first. So I'm not putting down using grass itself in there, but if you want less taste and sort of a more sophisticated edible, then you're going to try to get a pure THC or CBD.
I see. And, you know, it warms my heart to hear someone call it grass, Ed. I love that.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. His new book is Beyond Buds, Marijuana Extracts, Hash, Vaping, Dabbing, Edibles, and Medicine, co-written with the excellent David Downs, who's a producer of the Hash podcast and writes out there for a lot of different outlets. Another question I wanted to get to, Ed, is, you know...
I just want to mention that it was a pleasure working with David.
Oh, yeah. He's yes. fantastic. And
yes.
Another question I wanted to get to is, as we are evolving in our laws here, of course, Oregon's trying to pass legalization, Alaska's trying to pass, Washington's going to pass it, D.C., without sales. You've been working on something called a Marijuana User's Bill of Rights as maybe a template or a guideline for how we should go about legalizing. Tell folks a little bit about that.
Well, you know... we've had a number of different regimes of legalization. There's a faux or fake legalization in Washington in which everything's illegal except buying an ounce or less and possessing that. But if you buy an ounce and a half, then you're then it's a misdemeanor. And if you buy 2 ounces, it's a felony. And so is cultivation and a whole host of other things. And then they have that DUI thing mm-hmm. up there. They're not enforcing it now, but the cops will get around to it. So, and then we have California's and Colorado and so on. And so I came up with what I thought was a basic Bill of Rights, and there are 7 points to it. And the first is to repeal in the bill, any initiative or bill, it should repeal all of the prior criminal penalties, and then they can be put back in, such as sales to minors or whatever, but it shouldn't be under the old regime. Then the second is that cannabis will be under civil authority rather than the police. You know, Russ, you know how the police have said that these laws are so confusing that they just don't understand them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've had 20 or 30 or 40 or 70 years to do it, and they still can't get it right. So I think it's time to put it under civil authority. So if a person is growing 9 plants instead of 8, they don't face criminal penalties and things like that. And then also it means that all the cost of enforcement, such as courts, jails, using up police time, all of that will be over, and instead there'll be civil regulation, which will be cost effective for the state. It will bring money into the state. Then all residents will have the right to grow their own marijuana, and you know how different cities have tried to ban, cities and counties have tried to ban the cultivation outside mm-hmm. or inside or whatever. Everybody has a right to grow a plant.
Yes.
There should be no limit on it. When I say no limit on it, I don't mean that people should be able to grow their own. They don't, if they're going to sell some of it, then they have to have a business license. And then the next thing is that medical marijuana will be on a different track than adult use. And the idea about that is that it wouldn't be like California or Colorado's medical. It would be a much stricter medical, and these people would have, it would be pretty much tax-free, and it would be, and I think that dispensaries are going to have different, overlapping, but different medicines, different products.
Mm-hmm.
Than adult use places. For instance, there'll be a lot more CBD products or products with specific terpenes in them that have medical value.
Sure.
And so some of those products might also appear in the adult use store, but a lot of them will really, you know, will just be a different track.
Sure.
So then the next is that adult use stores will be allowed on a county-by-county and city-by-city basis. But in California, we have initiatives and local initiatives, so that in California, to put one of these in place, it would have to be by a vote of the people.
Gotcha.
So it couldn't be these county commissioners who are in bed with the police or whatever. And then the next thing is that manufacturing and processing, getting a license to do that should not be limited in the way that, for instance, it is in Nevada, even though they're giving out many licenses for either cultivation or processing and things. I think it should be that if you have a store, I mean, if you zone properly and have the proper, you know, passive food processing or whatever regulations there are for foods or whatever you're processing, then it's pretty much automatic that you get a license. And that would be sort of like if you pass a driver's test and then you get your license. By the way, I haven't gone into this, but I do believe that recreational use can be highly taxed. I'm not opposed to that because we have high taxes on a lot of recreational things, and especially when people have the right to grow their own.
Right.
So, okay,
yeah, as long as that homegrown
the
right's there, sure.
One last, and that is that adult use shall be permitted in private spaces with the owner's consent. So, for instance, if you're in a theater, a party, and the owner and the person who has control of the space says, yeah, you can smoke. It's not it's not the state's duty. Maybe not smoke, but at least vaporize. You know, there might be laws against smoke, general laws against smoking. So, at least vaporizing. And then there's one other part, which is that it should also be removed from the state Controlled Substances Act, and that's so CPS, Child Protective Services, won't have that as a cost.
Yeah, good thinking on that one. I wonder, you mentioned putting marijuana, medical marijuana, it's on its own separate track, and then also possibly highly taxing recreational marijuana. Wouldn't that create an incentive for people to try to cheat and get medical to avoid taxes?
Well, in California right now, it's pretty easy to get, to get a medical card. This would be a different kind of medical card.
Ah, okay.
I mean, it would be, we're talking about serious illnesses, and it would be a sign-off by your primary physician.
More East Coast style.
So that people could have, there might be two classes. I mean, we're just talking, this isn't something that I'm solid on, but there might be two classes of medical, so that you could go to a dispensary and pay a tax, or if you have more serious illness and you have a different kind of prescription, then it's tax-free. And that would be like the difference between over-the-counter drugs and prescription drugs. For instance, in California, there's no tax on prescription drugs, but if you buy aspirin over-the-counter, then there's a tax on it.
Gotcha. All right. The book is Beyond Buds, Marijuana Extracts, Hash, Vaping, Dabbing, Edibles, and Medicines by Ed Rosenthal. The Marijuana Bill of Rights, also User's Bill of Rights, is available at edrosenthal.com. This book comes to us through Quick Trading Publishing, or Quick American Publishing, at quicktrading.com. Last word, Ed. Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
Fight for your rights.
Right on. Thank you, Ed Rosenthal, Guru of Ganja, for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Yeah, great time talking with Ed Rosenthal. And folks, this book, full color, glossy pages, great diagrams, just like all the Ed Rosenthal books have. If dabbing is new to you, if the whole concentrate world is something you want to know more about it, this is a great primer for that. You get to give you a chapter on everything. We got dry sift, water hash, BHO, CO2, vaping and dabbing products, pipes, nails, all that, and the use of hash in edibles. Ed Rosenthal's Beyond Buds, Marijuana Extracts, Hash, Vaping, Dabbing, Edibles, and Medicines. At your bookstores now, on Amazon.com, or check out edrosenthal.com. We're back with the rant right after this. We've got Josh Marquis emails to read. Ha, ha, ha.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Once again, folks, item J343 is the Surfing Monkey Coin Bank. It's great for graduations, wedding gifts, and I believe we sold out on this one last time, so please do not let this one pass you by. Now let's go to caller Scott in Nashville.
Hello.
Now, Scott, I understand you just bought 15 of our Surfing Monkey Banks. Is that true?
Yeah. Chill, man. I'm on TV.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420 Radio.
If you look at the projected tax revenues in Washington State and in Colorado and also nationally, Colorado, $67 million, Washington, $560 million, a hypothetical look more nationally, $5.8 billion. What do you make of that? Dan.
Well, you know, I think the taxation revenue is the icing on the cake. I mean, for most Americans, the reason that they want to tax and regulate marijuana, again, is to no longer arrest and prosecute adults for using something that's safer than alcohol. My background is as a prosecuting attorney, and I just felt like it was a waste of my time and my taxpayer dollars arresting people for something that's really just not a threat to public safety. So if we can, you know, take revenue away from drug cartels and reallocate law enforcement resources and do all of those things, that makes sense. And if we can maybe collect some tax revenue on top of that, then that's icing on.
You can't handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget!
How in the century you have slurred the meaning of the words we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you? Punk.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, folks, welcome back. Just a reminder, there will be no live shows Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday on this channel, as I will be touring Oregon, shadowing Kevin Sabet and the so-called marijuana education tour that's making seven stops in 3 days. I'll be following along, and if you'd like to help fund my gas, food, lodging, and other expenses, you can go to gofundme.com/fightsabet. As a part of that fight, I've been issuing open records requests to various officials in five different counties in Oregon regarding their district attorneys and drug prevention coordinators' collusion and conspiracy to produce so-called marijuana educational events, not just this year, but back in 2012 as well, when Measure 80 was on the ballot. This is a pattern that they've engaged in where their affiliates, where these drug prevention groups use public money and public drug education grants to campaign against marijuana legalization. Part of the proof of this is the fact that while they call this an annual summit, for some reason they didn't have the summit in 2013 because marijuana legalization wasn't on the ballot. Part of having these summits is bringing out Kevin Sabet, the so-called quarterback of the anti-legalization movement, and the head of Project SAM. And there's a fantastic article on Cannabis Now's website today by Angela Baca on how all of the SAM affiliates, the statewide affiliates, are formed by getting these drug prevention grants from the federal government. Yeah, it's awfully nice when you get to use taxpayer dollars to try to educate people, or should I say propagandize people, against marijuana. Me, I got to get donations from my fans to pull that off. But we did get the records request back, at least one of them, from Josh Marquis, the DA of Clatsop County, who has responded to me in the Huffington Post, by the way. That's a fun read. And going through the emails, there's just a few highlights I wanted to show. I haven't had time yet to write all of this up since I'm getting ready for this this Sabet tour, but I thought I would just show you some of the fun stuff that I found. First of all, an email all the way back on January 1st. This is from Chris Gibson to Josh Marquis. Chris Gibson is with the Department of Justice at the state of Oregon. Below is an email that Kevin Sabet received in response to the Oregonian story you forwarded. And Kevin Sabet is forwarding to Chris Gibson, please thank this person and reach out, see where they are, and explain that we are setting up a Sam Oregon group now. Thanks. I'm copying my main Oregon contact, Chris Gibson, as an FYI. So the main contact for Kevin Sabet to help form a Sam group in Oregon is Chris R. Gibson at departmentofjustice.state.or.us. Let's look at another email that we've got in here. This is an email from, let's see, it's July 7th from Josh Marquis. And this is where he is crowing about getting PolitiFact Oregon to declare New Approach Oregon's claim of 12,000 marijuana arrests to be a lie. He likes to use a lot of all caps, which is, you know, always the sign of a brilliant mind. And he's saying the public says it's a lie. They don't want to be treated as blah, 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 as criminals. Toward the end here is the important one. These spunky folks in Madras are bringing Sabet out in October. They need Madurai to go on the road with them. We're going to need help. I think they have a dozen stops across the state, and we all have day jobs, unlike the dopers. Oh, okay. So we're just dopers if we're for marijuana legalization. Okay. So we move on. This is from an email entitled Joint Statement on Marijuana from, again, July 7th. And this is where Josh Marquis explains to various people, including Dwight Holton, if that name sounds familiar, he is the man who lost the Democratic primary for attorney general because his anti-medical marijuana views became apparent. This is Josh Marquis talking about doing the KGW straight talk and how New Approach said there would be no debate. They wanted to be interviewed separately. This is where Marquis says, someone suggested we should just refuse. We frankly cannot afford that luxury. They have millions. We have nothing. And we have to rely on public affairs programs and events to get our word out. Our word out being the, you know, that marijuana needs to remain illegal and that we need to do what Kevin Sabet says. Our word, we must rely, we have to rely on events like that tour that's happening tomorrow through Friday that I will be streaming live to get our word out. Here's one from Donovan Richard to Josh Marquis about Clatsop address. Just to be clear, I will send everything to your Gmail and will not use your Clatsop County address. Please let me know if you'd like me to send email to both. That's when Josh Marquis asked Richard Donovan to send them to coastda@gmail.com just to ensure I get these, not for any legal political reason. Please send my notice to coastda@gmail.com. Now, I've made two records requests now to the address of coastda@gmail.com, and so far the county has refused to let me see any records from those, claiming it's a private email address of Clatsop County District Attorney Josh Marquis, and that they don't store those records at the county, so there's just no way to get those. Today I forwarded them to a link to the Google account setting where you can download all your emails. I hope that's helpful to them. Here's one from Jill Quackenbush to Josh Marquis. Jill Quackenbush is the County Drug Prevention Coordinator. Thanks so much. We will keep in touch as the coalition moves forward with planning. I firmly believe your participation will help localize the issue, and you speak so eloquently on the subject of marijuana. Let us know if you have any ideas for financial contributions. I will be contacting the Columbia Pacific Coordinated Care Organization for sponsorship soon. Dr. Sabet's fees alone are a few thousand dollars. Dr. Sabet's fees alone are a few thousand dollars. And Josh Marquis wants to make hay out of me raising over $5,000 from you, my listeners and my fans, who have donated it out of their own pockets to ensure that the truth is presented about marijuana as Kevin Sabet trails his ass all around this country, all around this state, I should say. Well, country as well. You dare to bring up my funders who donated their hard-earned money when you people are sucking at the public tit and misusing drug prevention grants to campaign against Measure 91? I thought district attorneys were supposed to follow the law. That's all the time we got for Hour 1, but hey, stick around. We'll take this around the corner into Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, and Wiz Calico's here as well.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke.